Welcome back to Behind the Bench. We have my brother from another mother, Todd Perkins, who I love dearly. He's running out there every day of the week, twice on Sunday, as he beats the campaign trail for the honor of being the mayor of the city of Detroit, our great city. And Todd, I know this much, and I give it to, as our listeners across the city and across the state have been doubling as this show has been progressing. There is no better candidate from the standpoint of knowing the ins and outs of the city of Detroit and the people of the city, because you have been working with the citizens for how many years now? Over 28 years.
Well, maybe 30, because I was volunteering before while in law school.
Yeah. So the voices that you have heard and championed, God bless you, my man. So I'm with you, and we'll be fighting the fight.
August 5th.
There you go. So I'm going to shift gears here. I'm involved in. I think that we just counted.
Man, what are you not involved in?
Well, I try to keep my sanity. It's hard for me to say no. I don't know why, but it's hard for me to say no.
Because you come up golden all the time. Well, that's why.
Let's not get carried away. Although I did have that $106 million verdict.
That's what I was talking about. What I was getting at. Yeah. So, give yourself your own flowers sometime, man. Stop being so humble for just a second.
Well, listen, okay. This is a case I'm working on that you will, and I have with us today a beautiful young lady, Kyra Newman, who a graduate from U of M, who has been brought into our office to spearhead and help as a paralegal in this and champion this cause. Listen to this case.
Mm-hmm.
Women at the Huron Valley Prison. There's only one female prison in the state of Michigan. That's Huron Valley. There's only one. There's approximately 1,700 women. 1,700 women. And obviously they do strip searches of the women at the prison periodically for certain things. If they are a POA, they actually work. They'll go in and they'll do hospice for the prisoners that are dying. Or they'll go in and they'll sit at the sides of beds of people that are ill, or they will be janitors or clean the prison and the like. So anytime they go out and do that work, they are strip searched. Now, since January, I believe it's the 12th, they are being videotaped, and it's going into the cloud. So the naked strip shirts, full bore, naked, being videotaped. Now, listen, you have been there. I've been there. We go in. We're 10 feet away from the client. They see us. We get searched. The next thing you know, when they leave that attorney-client meeting, they're strip searched and videotaped. When a loved one comes in, they're videotaped as they're strip searched. I mean, it's unconscionable. I can't imagine. And so we are bringing this lawsuit that's going to hit the forefront, and I'm sure it's going to grab the attention of the headlines around the country, because I can't find another prison right now to date in our country that videotapes strip searches. So it's against the law to videotape strip searches. There's an exception to peace officers, but by definition in the statute, a correction officer is not a peace officer. So can you imagine that?
I was not saying anything because I'm so awed and shocked that a practice like this is going on in today's time. I feel bad for those women who and their families, because I can imagine there are women that don't even want to go through that deprivation in order to see their family. And to what end? I'm digesting this as we go along, and I'm thinking to myself, well, are you doing that to the same prison guards that might be people who could have opportunity to bring in contraband themselves? Are you doing that to them?
Exactly.
Fair is fair.
Right. Think about that. That's where the nefarious acts take place.
I am so shocked, and I'm so pained that people will have to go through something like that. And it's the first time a lawyer's without words.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah. We have Kyra. Kyra, you've been talking to our clients that we've retained, and you've been working on it. We use the term in the law of shocking the conscience. I mean, could you imagine you as a female having to go through any of this?
If I had the opportunity to not, I wouldn't. And that's what a lot of the women inside of the prison are doing. They're not accepting the visits from their friends and loved ones, and they're deciding to quit some of their jobs that are essentially paying for whatever, you know, they need inside of the prison.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So imagine you're put into a box, you get let out, but you don't go out if a family member wants to come see you, or your lawyer that needs to see you. You're being deprived of that due process, the ability to have competent counsel, because they don't want to have to go through the trauma. And get this, I want to verify this stat, and Kyra, you may have the stat with you, but the 90% of the women that have been incarcerated have suffered from some sort of traumatic event of domestic violence or sexual assault.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about that, you know, we have that eggshell doctrine, Todd, where, you know, these women already have been assaulted, right? They've already been put into, many of them raped, many of them trafficked, many of them through domestic violence. Now, all of a sudden, they have to think about, wait, who's watching this video? Is this video available to men? Is it out there, you know, on the ether for men to see? Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's beyond, it's beyond comprehension.
I just don't think it should be permitted, or even, you know, no one should be subjected to something like that, whether they're a prisoner or not. And there's other means by which we can detect and do searches that would not be so intrusive and so violating and degrading.
Yeah. And you know, we've listened to these stories where and Kyra, you probably heard the same, but it's so vulgar, the terms that are being used by some of the correction officers about with some of these women about how to expose their body, how to touch their toes, how to open themselves up, where that wasn't done prior to the videotaping, but now it is like times 10.
How long has this been going on, if I may ask?
Since January, they just changed the policy to invoke this. But what I can't understand is how the Attorney General allows this to happen.
Once you sue, you'll be able to gather all that information as to whether or not they sought an opinion and whether or not the Attorney General agreed and said it was okay, which would make it even, I mean, as bad as it is, it'd make it even worse that a lawyer would say that this is okay.
Right. I can't imagine. I would think, knowing our Attorney General, that she is not in favor of this. She can't.
Oh, yeah.
She can't be. I mean, that would go against everything we know, that she would be in favor of this. But you know what? We're going to sue. We have over 500 clients. We're going to make this happen. We're going to ask for a temporary restraining order to stop it. And, you know,
make sure in the temporary restraining order, they'll stop it, but then that stops the visits. Make sure it says that just because it stopped doesn't stop these people from being able to see their families. You know, because I could see them doing something draconian like that. You know, oh, yeah, we stopped the visit. We stopped this practice that we had, which was illegal, by the way. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to violate their rights and not let them see their families.
Yeah, you got it. You know Judge Metry?
Yes.
We're going to have Teddy. Yeah. We're going to have Judge Metry on next. We want you to stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
We used to be neighbors.
Oh, there you go. We'll be right back with Behind the Bench just after this.